Hello, and you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley. And on today's show, I am joined by Aaron Prendergast from Gaelic Games Fan TV to discuss this weekend's football, this weekend's hurling, and of course, some weekly GAA news stories as well this week. Of course, this podcast for the second time is sponsored by Captures Athletic. Athletics, if you want to get your gear for your club during the summer for the championships, go ahead and check them out if you haven't already. So Aaron, the football league has started last weekend, the hurling league started this weekend, so the season is fully in flow.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, match day two. So yeah, like that's the great thing about the league. There's so many games, they all come around thick and fast. You know, obviously previewing the games last week, reviewing the games, just great to have the football back. Obviously you have the hurling back this weekend as well, which probably a lot of people didn't even know about because of the fact that I suppose there isn't too much of an interest really in the hurling league. But yeah, like really looking forward to this weekend's games. Like there's going to be some cracking games, Mayo, Dublin, Derry, Tyrone. And I think like the first game round of the league is always very hard to judge because you don't really know like where teams are at. But I think when you start seeing the second, the third game, you know, you start to kind of get more of a gathering as to where teams are at and like how they're going to be sort of come championship time. So, yeah, I think this weekend's going to be, it's going to be very interesting to see how these games go.
Yeah, definitely. So it should be a very, very interesting weekend, hopefully in football and hurling this weekend. And already we have a comment coming on here. Hopefully a win between yous this weekend, lads, Monaghan Naboo. So... yeah, maybe dig after last weekend. Before we get started, how are you feeling after last week?
Yeah, perfectly fine. Like I predicted a draw going into that game. So I didn't expect Dublin to win it anyway, just because Dublin are notorious slow starters in the league. And Monaghan are, like, the league is their bread and butter in many ways. Like, they always turn up and produce big results in the league. And we haven't beaten them in the league since 2017. So it wasn't at all that big of a surprise. Maybe the only surprise was the fact that we looked very in control throughout different parts of the game. And the way we threw it away, I thought it was very disappointing. Like even Desi Farrell in his post-match interview looked very annoyed and very angry with. And I think the annoying thing was, like, Monaghan were good, don't get me wrong. I don't think Monaghan were at their best. But the game was there to be won for either side. And I felt like it was there to be won from a Dublin perspective. And we just didn't. We didn't grasp it. And especially with Division 1, when you've got Mayo away this week, Kerry to come in a couple of weeks, you know, like Dublin could possibly be dragged into another relegation battle if they're not careful. And I just think, you know, it's not the end of the world necessarily if Dublin get relegated, but just doing the whole, we go down to Division 2, come straight back up again. Like we just want to try and build a bit of consistency in this division, I think.
Yeah, definitely that is the way for Dublin, definitely in this league campaign. We'll start off with, usually on this podcast, the weekend Gaelic games. And three stories this week. And the first thing is, it was kind of a rumour. Maybe at the start of the week, maybe at Saturday, I think, when RT released a statement saying that VAR or the TMO, television match official, could be into Gaelic games. But according to a trial in the championship last year, apparently, it just didn't work. And apparently the Gaelic Games committee have just stepped back from VAR or TMO now. But we've seen over the last weekend, especially in the Tyrone-Roscommon game last week, Conn Kilpatrick's red card, which you could argue, well, to be honest, like that high tackle rule, I think it's very, very vague, in my opinion. Like when you look at tackles down through the years, an arm around the neck is not a red card. A frontal body collision sometimes is a red card. It's hard to judge. And then when you look at the Roscommon disallowed goal in the second half of last week, that should have been a goal and it shouldn't have been a square ball. So in that instance, maybe VAR TMO could have been used. But like a lot of ups and downs around this decision, more or less. What's your opinion on this? Do you think VAR TMO would be good for the GAA or bad for the GAA?
I think it'd be great for the GA, definitely. Interesting that they said they trialed it last year. I mean, I wonder, was that just behind closed doors or something like that, or how that worked? I don't really know. Like, that's kind of interesting to hear. But I think it'd be great. I think a lot of people are looking at how VAR is in the Premier League, and they're automatically assuming that that would be very bad for Gaelic games. But like the Premier League's VAR is just absolutely atrocious, and it's just really, really badly used in that sport. Like even the some like me and you are about Liverpool fans, but even some of the decisions that probably went in favour of Liverpool last night in regards to a couple of penalties that Chelsea probably should have got. Do you know, like you can go through any game really, like in the Premier League, and you can point out decisions that you know should have went or blah blah blah. But I think it'd be great. Like, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. You could, like, at the end of the day, you just need one person, one official, maybe two officials watching the game somewhere and making quick decisions. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be for, you know, like anything over the, like it, you can use it for serious things only in terms of red cards. If there is a decision that's used that's wrong, you could use it for that. I think like using it for black cards or anything like that, I'd maybe refrain from, but you could use it for red cards or say, for example, even in the All-Ireland final, the Watty Grahams Glen and, the Hurling final between St. Thomas and O'Loughlin Gales, that incident where O'Loughlin Gales, the ball looks like it's over the line. Maybe incidents like that, they could use it. Like they don't have to necessarily use it every game, use it for everything. Like if there's a bad challenge that happens, they don't need to like look at it and sort of be like, oh, is this a red card? Is it not? I think they could just use it for the betterment of the game, but I don't think they necessarily need to use it like the way that the Premier League use it. Like the TMO obviously is the perfect sort of example in rugby, but obviously that's a, you know, much professional higher standard. So you can't imagine the GAA maybe having the capabilities of doing that. But I think it would be, I think it certainly should be something that they should look at, in my opinion. You know, but obviously they're not going to go ahead with it by the sounds of it.
Yeah, definitely. So a comment coming in here from Jack. Did you think that Ryan O'Donoghue deserved to get a black card against Galway? Well, to be honest, yeah, maybe so. It's one of them, really. Would you give it, would you not? It's very, very vague again with the tackle rule and things like that. But it didn't matter at the end because Mayo won the game. So yeah, but we're talking about really big incidents that decide the, you know, the things in games or the results, should I say. But Seamus Brady from Unclear, check that podcast if you haven't already, made a very good point on his social media React show, actually, saying that if they're going to check for goals, for example, and I know you mentioned that yellow cards and red cards should be checked, maybe not so black cards, but if goals were to be checked, and there could be a situation where many goals will be disallowed because they'll be going back maybe to the 45 or 65 meter line and looking for players taking steps. So, like, we see it all the time, players take about 5 or 6 steps and they just get away with it. With VAR or TMO, arguably, you wouldn't really get away with it. So, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think if the GAA were going to trial it using that and use it to punish steps more, and that would reduce the goals in games? What do you think of that in a way? Do you think that would kind of spoil the atmosphere in a way in a Gaelic Games match?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, I think at the end of the day, if someone is taking more steps than they should be, then it should be a foul. You know, I know there is multiple scenarios throughout Gaelic Games where a player, especially in an attacking sense, they do take that extra 1 or 2 steps, and the referees obviously tend to let it go. I think because it's probably very hard to pull a situation like that back for steps, but at the end of the day, they are the rules of the game. So yes, maybe it might chalk off a lot more goals and whatever, and that might be something a bit annoying maybe watching it, but at the same but again, you know, like you don't even necessarily have to use it for those kind of things, like just the real clear, I know, like clear and obvious is sort of the term that gets used with VAR and everything, but if you actually use it for things that are clear and obvious in terms of, all right, this should have been a penalty, clear as day, or this should have been a goal, this shouldn't have been a red card, you could use it for incidents like that, and maybe even like just use it for All-Ireland quarterfinals and beyond. You don't necessarily need to use it for every league game. You don't, you know, maybe in the Tailteann Cup, you could use it for semi-finals and finals. Same in Hurling and the Joe McDonagh as well. But I definitely think it would be something helpful, even for Hurling as well, when you look at how fast that game is played. Very hard for referees to see what's going on, even umpires as well. So, yeah, I do think it would be something that they should look at, but doesn't seem to be on the agenda, unfortunately.
Maybe it will in the next few years. We'll have to see with the Gaelic Games or the GAA committee. We'll have to see in general. But Conor coming in here for Denise, it better have better functioning than Hawkeye. Good point. Really good
Yeah,
point, actually.
that's probably true, yeah.
The less said about Hawkeye, the better. But two more
Yeah.
stories to get through before the games this weekend. And one briefly, I talked about this with Seamus in the last few weeks, and yeah, they've rectified this car. Super Valley Parky Keith was officially announced yesterday morning, on Wednesday morning officially. Kevin O'Donovan had an interview with the RT News saying that Parky Keith, the debt they have, 30 million euros, it's well documented at the moment. That would benefit, and as well as that, the O'Queen name is kept as well. So what's your general thoughts on this? First of all, that Super Valley Park was a thing first, that it was actually raised to the Cork County Board, but then to be named Super Valley Parky Keith for Cork GAA to have a change of heart after the public backlash that it got online. But what do you think of the whole story yourself? Do you think the Cork County Board came to the right decision in the end?
Yeah, they probably did. I suppose, yeah, like if you have that amount of debt, then I suppose you have to try and clear it and in whatever way you can. But yeah, like I mean, to call it Super Value Park in the first place was a little bit bizarre, wasn't it? Like it's like they didn't read the room, or they just thought, okay, we'll just name this Super Value Park and there's going to be no uproar. It's like they, like especially in those situations, you would think. Because obviously there's a group of people that are making those decisions. Like this is really why I do think that there should be more communication between supporters and county boards. Like especially when you look at clubs and everything else, you'd never see clubs make decisions like that. Because like at the end of the day, a lot of people who are in clubs are supporters, you know what I mean? Volunteers and everything. And I do think when you look at county boards, there should be some sort of form of communication there. Like there should like a supporters group or a supporters trust or something like that, just so they can actually realize that, okay, this isn't actually a good idea. This isn't a good thing to move forward with. Yeah, naming a Super Value Parky Queeve, I suppose, yeah, like it's better. Realistically, no one's gonna call it Parky Queeve or Super Value Parky Queeve anyway. We're all just gonna still call it Parky Queeve. The only thing that's gonna change is, there'll be Super Value logos probably slapped up around the stadium. The commentators will probably have to mention it and stuff like that. But yeah, I suppose it is what it is. But hopefully this works for Cork, because they've been trying all the concerts. They've been getting as many concerts in as possible. Now they're going to Super Value Parky Queeve. You'd kind of wonder what they're doing with the money there, to be honest. I know obviously they have to redevelop Parky Queeve, and that obviously took up a a good chunk of money. But you would hope now that like they can get their act together a little bit here now, because like what else is going to happen? Like, are they going to rename Cork like Cork County or something? It's going to be Super Value Cork versus Dublin. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like,
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the 30 million euro debt is absolutely incredible in its own right. And they're trying to, raise money to counteract that debt in many ways. Like Munster, the Crusaders is this weekend. That's a big rugby game this weekend that is on Parky Heath. That's specifically the reason why Cork have two away games, first of all, in the Alliance League. So yeah, that's the reason why. Bruce Springsteen is also coming to Parky Heath in May. And yeah, concerts is the big thing for Cork GAA. And Seamus actually made a very good point a few weeks ago on my podcast, saying that the Cork club game should be on Parky Rink instead of Parky Heath, like Dublin doing Parnell Park. Maybe that will get more atmosphere and more money in for a Cork GAA to do, and to get more concerts in Parky Heath. I know it's not ideal, it's not the ideal situation, but Cork GAA have to do that. And there's a load of discussions that I've been involved in with Parky Heath or Super Value Park, if you want to call it, if anybody wants to banter Cork GAA over that. I discussed this with Seamus a few weeks ago on this podcast. I discussed this with Dan Casey on Cork's Red FM, if you want to check that out at Spotify as well. So hopefully this story will be brushed under the carpet now, and we can just move on into the new year. And the final bit of news, and maybe just a bit of results, run through the Sigurdsson Cup this week, because it was the quarterfinal week this week. We're into the semi-final stage. So Some big results to the Sigurdsson this week. I went to a game last night. UL were playing against DCU. They won 14 points to 110. Senan Baker got the DCU goal from Westmeath. But UL, they power back into it. Paul Keeney with some very good scores. Kieran Downey was brilliant. Frank Irwin from Mayo, who I'm sure we'll see in Croke Park this weekend. Or sorry, Cale Park this weekend. For Mayo against Dublin, should I say. So they had very good performances there. Other Sigurdsson Cup results included UCD beating University of Galway by 114 to 160. The incredible thing about this game, UCD scored 110 in the second half alone, which was absolutely incredible. David Gardner from Bonham scoring 5 points in this game. Luke Brannock from Dublin scoring the goal for UCD. Brilliant goal that was. Maynooth University are to the semi-finals as well, beating Queen's University 10 points to 9. Brilliant performance again for Dark Huron from Kildare. We all know the quality that he has. And Ulster University beat TU Dublin by 16 points to 110. A late rally by TU Dublin wasn't enough in this game, as Ulster University, through the likes of Niall Loughlin, Rory Canavan, and Darragh Canavan especially, were absolutely superb. And the semi-final draw was also made last night as well. So it's Ulster University against Maynooth University and UCD against UL. So the venues were announced for those early today, I think. They'll be on next Thursday on February 8th. UCD are up against UL. That's on SETU Carlow. And in Enniskeen, Monaghan, you have Ulster University against Maynooth University. Both those games are live on the Higher Education YouTube channel. So very interesting games in the Sigurdsson Cup this week, Aaron. I know the semi-finals are next week, but they'll be on Thursday. Hopefully the podcast next week will be before the Sigurdsson Cup semi-finals, all going well. So we might preview that on this podcast in next week's show. But in terms of the quarterfinals, like, good results for all them four sides, especially like some Maynooth University and Ulster University especially, who don't reach the semi-finals that often.
No, but actually, like, when you look at the teams, like, I think Ulster University actually have a very, very good chance at winning it this year, in fairness. Like, as you said, you've obviously got Rory Canavan, you've got Dara Canavan, Niall Loughlin's in there as well, Kieran Daly, who obviously featured for Tyrone at the weekend. And there isn't, like, when you actually look at the teams that are left, like, usually there's one team that significantly stands out. Like, in the past, you've had really good DCU teams, you've had Galway teams, you've had one or two teams that have really, really stood out, but You look at this and it is kind of wide open, to be fair. It definitely is wide open. And it will be interesting most certainly to see which way it goes. But Ulster University definitely do have a good chance. Maynooth, to be fair, I've got a good few players, likes of Owen Frayne and Derek Hirwan obviously in there as well. And UL are obviously, you know, one of the sort of big juggernauts for the last couple of years, and I'm sure they'll be thereabouts as well. But yeah, look, it's going to be two interesting semi-finals, and maybe I'd quietly, you know, Ulster teams have done very well this year. You know, we've seen them all do really well at club level, and obviously all the Ulster teams winning at the weekend. So yeah, to be honest, I'd nearly put my money on Ulster University if I was a betting man, to be honest.
Quite interesting as well, Ulster University knocked out the champions from last year, UCC. Well, they didn't knock them out, they beat them in the first round, and then UCC went on to lose to Maynooth in round three as well. So so they're no more, UCC. So it is definitely wide open. UL are chasing their third final in a row. UCD, for me, though, I think they have a very, very good team. David Garland there, Aaron Lynch from Meath is very, very good. And look, they've hammered nearly every team so far, like scoring 110 in one half last night against University of Galway was absolutely superb. I think they beat ATU Galway, I think they scored 122 in one game there, which was absolutely outstanding. So they look very good to me to go on and win it. Hopefully, from my point of view, you will go on and win it. But to be honest, they scraped over the line against DCU, a DCU team without Conor Corbett last night. We will talk about Cork and Loud in a few minutes here. But it looks like he's going to be injured for that game. He wasn't playing anyway last night against UL. So that's a worry for Cork and for DCU in future years as well. But yeah, it was an interesting quarterfinal lineup last night and will be interesting semi-finals next week. But we will get on to the inter-county action this weekend, and we'll start off with Aaron's own county. You're going to McHale Park in Mayo to face against the old rivals on Saturday at 7:30 on RT2, and this is Division 1, of course. Mayo beating Galway on the first day 2-12 to 10 points, while Dublin obviously losing, we touched on that earlier, against Monaghan. Are you nervous about this game, Aaron? Because if Dublin do lose this game, maybe relegation could be around the corner.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's a big game. I suppose playing Mayo is always big, but especially like after this, we play Roscommon at home, and then we've got Kerry at home. And you'd imagine the Cliffords will probably be back by the time that game comes around, and especially with the fact that we beat Kerry in the All-Ireland final, you'd imagine Kerry will come for that game all guns blazing. So it's a huge game, and it was an interesting game for Mayo. Like, they looked really, really comfortable against Galway. I don't think they were necessarily brilliant or outstanding. I just think Galway were really poor, and overall it was a very, very poor game. And it was probably the same type of Mayo that we've seen over the last couple of years in terms of how they played. Like, their, you know, wing backs are bursting up forward, they're, you know, hand passing the ball lows, they're playing a, you know, running game and everything else. Their football maybe didn't look like it had evolved, you know, evolved or kicked on that much. And whether they do something different this weekend is going to be interesting. But yeah, it's a huge match for Dublin. Like, I thought against Monaghan, we looked in control for large parts, and then we just sort of lost ourselves. I think the big question is going to be our defence, because when you don't have Mick Fitzsimons in there and you don't have Cluxton, you only have to look at the games Dublin have played without them two, and, you know, league games, and you think back to last year, the amount of goals we were conceding left, right and centre, and that train, you know, that carried on over into this game. And it's nothing really got to do with David O'Hanlon, I think, to be fair, because I think he has played well. I thought his kickouts were good at the weekend, scored a couple of points from 45s, and was the same throughout preseason as well. And he made a number of big saves last year. And even them goals, you can't really do too much about. Like, the Stephen O'Hanlon goal was an absolute cracker. I don't even think Cluxton would have saved that, in fairness. But yeah, the fullback is going to be interesting. Like, is Sean McMahon a fullback? I'm not entirely sure. I think he's more probably a cornerback or wing back, maybe. So you could look at someone like Theo Clancy coming in. Maybe Mick Fitzsimons would come in. But yeah, Dublin need to get the balance of their defence right, because that was the big downfall last weekend, to be fair. And again, the age-old question, trying to find someone to partner Brian Fenton seems to be a bit of a nightmare. So yeah, look, it'll be an interesting game. I do think we'll turn up for it. I do think we'll just about nick it. I think I've seen enough against Monaghan to see that we can go and win and get a victory. I think some of the defensive issues are very fixable, in my opinion. So I do think we'll be strong enough to get the victory.
We talked about the Sigurdsson Cup before this game as well. And the two players that played the Sigurdsson Cup over the last few weeks for Dublin, well, they played for colleges teams there, but they favor in the Dublin team at the moment. They're on the fringes, in particular in midfield. I'm looking at, and I discussed this with Seamus on his podcast the other day, Killian McGuinness in midfield. Like, Brian Fenton, it's well documented Brian Fenton needs a midfield partner, and Pat O'Coughey Byrne has the potential to do that. Has he staked his claim enough? It remains to be seen. So, like, I was going to mention Luke Brannock as well in this, but Killian McGuinness in particular, he's done well for TU Dublin, he's done well for Skerry's Harps as well in the Dublin Championship. Could he be a player to play alongside Brian Fenton? And is midfield the real... I know you mentioned the full back line is a problem, but is midfield a problem too for Dublin at the moment?
I think so, yeah, because obviously Luke Brettnock was named at midfield against Monaghan, but he didn't really play in midfield. And when you actually watched the game, it was more like Fenton was operating midfield by himself. So, yeah, I think there definitely is the need for someone to come in there. Killian McGuinness, I think, yeah, would be a great show. I was impressed with Peter Duffy throughout pre-season as well, but he doesn't seem to be getting a look in. So and look, I think when the championship comes around, it's probably one of them where you can put McCarthy and Fenton together, you can put McCaffrey into wing back, you know, and then you'll have Owen Merchant, John Small. The team kind of picks itself, but I think for now, like with James McCarthy, probably is going to be his last year, you'd imagine. Maybe he might prove us wrong again and stick around for another year, but I do think that now is the time where you try and find someone to partner Fenton long term, because McCarthy isn't going to be around forever. And yeah, Killian McGuinness, as you said, has been very impressive in the Sigurdsson Cup. So I think, yeah, like it's definitely worth giving him a shot. But obviously, playing midweek and everything, will he play again this week? It's hard to know, but I'd definitely be worth giving him a go, I think.
Definitely will. And especially TU Dublin are out of the Sigurdsson Cup now, and he does have free time. So it's maybe the right time to bring him in. So we'll have to see about that. Luke Brannock, obviously. But the thing is that Luke Brannock is a very exciting player. But to me, he wouldn't be necessarily a midfielder. He'd be more of a forward. Yeah. He plays forward for UCD. So and his club, obviously, and underage for Dublin. So to put a midfield in the senior team doesn't really make sense. And it probably just epitomizes that Dublin have the midfield problem even more. But yeah, onto Mayo is small, but like Mayo do have exciting players coming through, but it's kind of a like deja vu for Mayo. And I know they played well against Galway, fair play to them last week in winning that game by 8 points, which was an absolutely amazing margin. But we had this discussion about Mayo last year. They did well early in the league. They did well to get to the league final. And then come championship time, they had one good game in the championship against Kerry and Killarney, and that was it. They lost against Cork. Against Lough, they were very, very lucky. Against Roscommon, they lost. And they got hammered by Dublin in the quarterfinals in Croke Park as well. So is there an argument that it's kind of a bit like deja vu for Mayo? And do Mayo need to peak at the right time, need to peak at championship rather than the league?
Yeah, like it definitely looked that way. And to be fair, like I don't think Mayo were at their best necessarily. Like I think it was a poor game overall. And, you know, I think with Mayo, with Ryan O'Donoghue getting black carded, it lent Mayo just keeping the ball for large parts, and Galway couldn't really do much about it. But yeah, it's a hard one to know, because like even when you look at the Mayo team that started, it's probably not too far off their actual strongest team. Do you know what I mean? When you actually look at it, like you had Ryan O'Donoghue, Tommy Conroy, Aidan O'Shea, Jordan Flynn, Owen McLaughlin at wing back, Paddy Durkin in there. Maybe their midfield, maybe someone like a Dermot O'Connor maybe to come in is maybe the only player there potentially missing. But yeah, it was surprising, to be honest, to see Mayo go as strong as they did. You know, whether they're looking at it and thinking, you know what, let's get two, three wins on the board and then we can, you know, start to kind of zone out towards the end of the league. Maybe they're looking at it and thinking, you know, let's get our wins on the board, let's stay up in the league, and then we'll then maybe we'll take our eye off the ball. Or maybe Kevin McStay, you know, it's fair to say like a lot of managers probably don't think like that. Like you look at Mickey Hart throwing all the club lads out straight away. And we've saw other club other managers do this in the past as well. Look how Jim McGuinness is treating the league. So it's all like about perception, and different people are treating the league in different ways. And maybe Kevin McStay looks at it and thinks we need to be at full throttle for the entirety of the league, and we need to carry that form over into the championship. But it's just that when you look at Mayo over the last couple of years, they've burnt out by the time, as you said, it's gotten to the quarterfinals. So it's interesting for Mayo. It is hard. You know, you definitely can't get carried away with them, because I think we've all made that mistake in the past. You know.
Exactly. So, but you're back in Dublin for this game, right? Even going away to Mayo.
Yeah, I think we'll do it. I do think we'll do it. As I said before, I don't think we were too, you know, I think we were just cut open at times defensively, but I think there is solutions there maybe in bringing someone like Theo Clancy in. I think having a better midfield partner for Fenton, maybe McCarthy might even start this game. The fact he even came on against Monaghan for me was actually quite a surprise. I didn't think we'd see him at all until about the fourth or fifth game of the league. So I just think for Dublin, you know, like this is a big game in terms of if we don't win this, as you said, I think we're going to be in a bit of trouble, because we got Roscommon and Kerry obviously to follow. Still have to play the likes of Tyrone away as well. So I think this is a bit of a must-win game. And I think especially at this stage in the league, I think Dublin will need the win more. They'll want it more. And I think their efforts and how they perform will reflect that. So, I think Dublin just about to nick it, probably two, 3 points maybe.
Maybe this is a cop-out. I'm going to go for a draw on this. Considering they may go at home, they'll get the fans behind them. And Dublin need points. They need points just to stay in the division, just to be more calm going into the last few games of the league campaign. And I just feel that both sides would want to win, but it will just end up kind of a shooting contest in many ways. So, like you score, we score. So I'm going to go for a draw on this game, and it should be very tight on Saturday evening. We'll go on to the next Division 1 game, and the only other Division 1 game that's actually streamed live this week, which is absolutely mental. And we have this discussion nearly every year. There should be more games in GAA go, but we don't want to waste more time on the podcast talking about that. We'll talk about the games here. It is Monaghan against Kerry. It's on Sunday at 1 o'clock on the TG Carr player and app. And it's a tricky assignment for Kerry going up to Monaghan, but considering, like, I don't know exactly the figures in them, in how Kerry have gone on against Monaghan in the league exactly, but in the last two seasons especially, they've beat Monaghan quite comprehensively, both home and away. So you'd have to imagine, looking at those sorts of statistics, you'd have to imagine Kerry would go on and win this game. But Monaghan would want to make it as hard as possible for the Kingdom.
Yeah, I do think Monaghan have a serious chance. Like, I thought they played very well, obviously, against Dublin in Croke Park, even without, you know, some of their top players. And yeah, I suppose, yeah, maybe the only chance Mayo will have at the weekend is if Dublin get the wrong bus down. I don't know. but yeah, no, look, yeah, I think Monaghan at home, like, very tough team to beat. Kerry, obviously, without the Cliffords. I'd give Monaghan a serious chance. I really, really would. I predicted a draw on my own show, so I won't go against that prediction. But I do think, like, you could see Monaghan winning this. This one is a difficult one because Kerry without the Cliffords do struggle. Like, and even the Derry game, like, those two goals kind of came out of absolutely nowhere. Like, Derry were very comfortable, really, when you actually look at the overall way of how the game was played. So I could see Monaghan getting something from this.
Quite an interesting opinion there. Like, yeah. Look, this is the opinion about David the Clifford's being not in the Kerry team. Sean O'Shea was playing full forward. Dylan Gainey was in around the forward, like Killian Burke as well. Killian Spillane didn't really stake a claim now the last day. He did in the McGrath Cup final, to be fair to him. Maybe he will in this game this weekend. But, like, do you think the Clifford's are just so important to Kerry? They're almost like, we can't play without them. If we play without them, we're screwed. Is it that kind of a way with Kerry? I know Kerry fans might go at me about that comment, but it seems to be the way around social media at the moment that Kerry kind of struggled with the two lads.
I think, yeah, like, you only have to look really throughout the league last year and obviously the game against Derry as well. Like, when you look at their forwards, like, only three of their four starting forwards scored. Sean O'Shea scored 5 points. Dylan Gainey and Darren Moynihan both scored a point each, but Killian Spillane, Michal Burns, none of them scored. You know, that way, like, so they did, like, their forwards are struggling, like, and we haven't seen the best of Killian Spillane in the last few years, unfortunately. He just hasn't really clicked for him in a Kerry shirt. I know he's had a couple of injuries and everything else. I still think Kerry are a very good side or a good team without the Cliffords, but I just don't think they're the same team without the Cliffords. I think if David Clifford and Paddy Clifford opted out, you know, I think Kerry probably wouldn't even get to an All-Ireland semi-final, to be honest with you. And that's because David Clifford is that good. Like, he is a generational talent in more ways than one. So, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Monaghan as well, because obviously they went to Croke Park. I know their record against Dublin is very, very good in the league, and it was well documented last week. But the fact that they keep producing these players, they were going to Croke Park without Rory Began, Darren Hughes, Kieran Hughes, Conor McManus. It's basically the spine of their team, the spine of their dressing room, more or less, because they're the leaders in the team, taken out of it. And they still go on and beat Dublin, and they're nearly going to stay up again now. If they go on and get a good result against Kerry this weekend, you'd have to imagine they'll stay up again. So, what is it about Monaghan's DNA? Like, it's absolutely incredible the way they keep going year after year after year, despite the population of the country.
Yeah, like, I think Monaghan are just so used to a dogfight, though. They're so used to being in scraps. They're so used to being in games where going down into the final 10, 15 minutes, the games are in the melting pot. Do you know that way? Like, and it suits them down to the ground. And I think the fact that Ulster is so competitive as it is, it means that Monaghan always, you know, have to probably dig it out when they do get a victory, and they're so used to it, and just the belief as well. Like, you know, I'm sure Vinnie Corey and the Monaghan lads traveling up to Dublin and Croke Park would have seen, you know, a lot of those lads would have been in the team when they beat Dublin a few years previous in the league, so they would have had the belief, and yeah, obviously just a very well run county. Like, they just keep finding players, like even Kieran McNulty, who came on as well, was very good when he came off the bench against Dublin. So they do just keep finding players that keep coming through, and even like Stephen O'Hanlon stepping up hugely as well. I think there's even a case that Monaghan could even push to get into a league final. I think there's a strong case for it.
That's a big call, actually, but we'll probably discuss league final predictions as we go on in the league. Maybe it's a bit premature with with it being only week two. But you think it'll be a draw in this game? Do you think Kerry have any chance of winning? Or even, like, the last few years against Monaghan, it's been a one-sided affair, let's be honest. But you think it'll be different this time?
Yeah, I just think it'll be a draw. I just do. I think Kerry just aren't, like, they don't have a lot of their best players, obviously, back. Like, you wouldn't be surprised if Kerry won. You'd probably be more surprised if Monaghan won than Kerry won. But I think Monaghan will push for it. And yeah, I think it will end up in a draw.
I'd have to bat the neighbours here. I'm going to go for Kerry just because of the record they've had against Monaghan. Like, a few years ago, I remember, I think I backed Monaghan to be Kerry in the scene, and they ended up getting hammered in that game. So I'm just going to go for Kerry to go on in this game, because I just feel the record against Monaghan is really, really strong in the league, and they should get over the line, even without the two Cliffords not in the team. We move on to a Connacht derby in Division 1 next. Roscommon against Galway in Dr. Hyde Park at 2 p.m. Interesting game considering both sides lost that last weekend. And I know I predicted Galway to finish top of Division 1 and Roscommon to finish bottom, but you do feel at this early stage, even in match day 2, the losers of this game are seriously on the back foot.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, this is a massive game, to be honest. Like, I think it could be likely whoever loses it. I know it's early days and everything else, and Galway still have, you know, plenty of home games after this. Roscommon still have a lot of games, but yeah, it's probably likely whoever loses this could potentially go down. I think it is very probable. Especially considering how well Tyrone have started as well. I think a lot of people looked at Tyrone as a side who could be, you know, a team to get relegated. And even Mayo, to be fair, have started fairly strong as well. So, yeah, it's huge. Like, Galway, it's weird. Like, these two sides have a weird record. Galway have a better record at Hyde Park, and Roscommon have a better record away against Galway. So it's a little bit strange when these two actually play each other. Like, home form does tend to go out the window. But yeah, like, Roscommon will have Enda Smith back, probably have a few of the Bridges lads back as well. And yeah, Galway were just really, really poor the last day. Like, really, really poor. Like, and I know they still have Matthew Tierney to come back in, maybe Paul Conroy as well. But they just look miles off it. And I tip Roscommon, I think, to win this.
It's another big prediction. It's really, really big prediction. We love it. But yeah, Galway, they looked poor last weekend. Obviously, lose by 8 points. They had one of the biggest losing margins. I think Waterford and Cork are the biggest losing margins, but Galway were definitely up there last weekend. Another comment coming in here. Anytime the Rosses get relegated, they win the Connacht final. So yeah, maybe that in there. So yeah, we'll see. First of all, if Roscommon.
Yeah, I was thinking 2021. I think they got relegated. I don't think they won it that year. But yeah, like, there is weird omens sometimes with Roscommon, in fairness. Like, even with Mayo, like, every time Mayo have won the league, they've then played Roscommon and lost in the championship. So maybe Roscommon fans would be secretly hoping Mayo will win the league again. But yeah, like, it's, yeah, I just fancy Roscommon just to do it. I think Galway just look miles off it, and I don't think Roscommon played that bad really against Tyrone. It's a weird one sometimes when you have an extra man, because sometimes a lot of teams just don't know how to use it, and they sort of just panic, and it's a little bit of a weird scenario. And I think that's kind of what happened to Roscommon against Tyrone. But yeah, I think with Enda Smith coming back in, maybe, you know, Ben O'Carroll maybe to come back into the side as well. And we know Davy Burke is one of them managers that treats the league quite seriously. And I think he'll be really revving the lads up for this one, because he'll know more than anyone that if they don't win this, they're in massive trouble, because they play Dublin a week after in Croke Park. And I know they nearly beat Dublin in Croke Park last year, but it's still going to be a massive ask. It's still going to be a massive ask. So, yeah, I'd go with Roscommon, I think, to do the business.
I'm going to stick with Galway. I know they were poor last weekend, but I just feel that Galway, there's a kick in this team, surely. I know Shane Walsh was, other than, I know he scored 5 points the last day, but wasn't as influential as he usually would be. Damien Comer as well needs to have a big game in this one for Galway to get over the line. Killian O'Corrine is a really good player that I'm really looking forward to seeing more of the championship as the year goes on. So, like, Look, I just feel Galway have enough in the tank to get over the line. And Roscommon, maybe it would be a bit of second season syndrome for them. I know they did well in Division 1 last year, finishing third, but I just feel that Galway will have to, you know, the bit between their teeth to go out and get a win in this game. Another comment coming here from Rommel. If Galway showed the same desire as the Mayo players over the past 3 or 4 years, they would have landed in All-Ireland. Extremely talented players that very few could match, and they are mentally weak players. Like, before we get on to Tyrone and Derry, we've given our predictions here. We're going for opposite ones. But just a word on Galway in regards to that comment. Like, some bits of it are true. Galway do have excellent players. Comer, Walsh, Robbie Finnerty over the last few seasons, Paul Conroy, Killy McDade, Matthew Tierney. Some unreal players, but they just can't get over the line. Even last year, a lot of people fancy Galway at the start of the championship to get over the line in the end. I know they lost by a point in 2 games against Armagh and Mayo, but especially in the Armagh game, they probably should have won that game once they got that goal that hit through Sean Kelly. They should have kicked on after that. They didn't. And is that kind of a major concern with Galway in terms of going on and getting a Sam McGuire?
Yeah, I think so. Like, because they've, I suppose, like, they've had a good bunch of younger players like make the breakthrough from that under 20 All Ireland side that beat Dublin in 2020. But yeah, I don't know what it is with Galway. Like, they have, as you said before, they do have a lot of very good players. Damien Comer, Shane Walsh, Matthew Tierney. But I think the problem is they've been very reliant on Comer and Walsh in the last few years. And, like, if Comer isn't at it and Walsh isn't at his best, they don't win. Like, that, it's been very, very simple as that. And it's almost like the Kerry scenario without the Cliffords to a certain extent with Galway. And yeah, they just, I don't know what it is. Like, I probably would agree with that comment a little bit as well. Like, they do seem to falter quite a lot in pressurizing scenarios. Like, even when you think back to Armagh a couple of years ago, although they won that game on penalties, they completely threw it away in the final few minutes. Do you know that way? Like, and their record, like, against big teams is really poor as well. Like, they've only beaten Mayo, I think, once in the last 8 games. And they're like, there's enough quality there and there's enough younger players coming through, but it's one of them. I think there'll be question marks over Pádraig Joyce, I think, if they don't kick on. Like, to be fair, it's very hard to win All Ireland at the end of the day. Like, obviously Mayo haven't won one in, you know, 70 odd years, and when you actually look at it, it's been Dublin and Kerry mostly winning them. But so I don't necessarily think anyone's expecting Galway to go and win it, but they probably should be. Like, fair enough, they got to the final 2 years ago, but, you know, the season before that, they didn't get out of Connacht. Last year, they didn't even make the last eight. You know, if they don't even make the last eight again this year, there'll be serious questions asked.
Yeah, definitely so. And Galway will be an interesting team to look at as the year goes on in the league and the championship indeed. But we'll move on to the last game of Division 1, because maybe time is at the essence here. There's a lot of games to get through, as you can tell. But this is a huge one. Derry against Tyrone. I know it's only the league. I know it's match day two. But it's almost like the apprentices county is coming to his back garden. This is a huge game. Mm-hmm. It really, Derry against Tyrone, live at TG Carr at 3:45. And I'd expect, Aaron, there'll be a few fisticuffs going on in this game. There'll be a lot of bills. There'll be a lot of rows. I think there'll be a good few brawls in this game as well. But ultimately, it's going to be interesting to see how Mickey Hart comes up against his old great team, Tyrone.
Yeah, like, you can just see it already. It's almost, it's poetic in many ways. You can just see Mickey Hart standing there with his Derry jumper on and the Tyrone lads, you know, running past them, all looking at him or something. Like, it's mental. Even seeing Mickey Hart in a Derry jumper just looks weird. It just looks really, really strange. Like, did you know that way? Like, it looks strange seeing him in a loud top, you know, never mind a Derry jumper. But yeah, like, it's an interesting one, all right. Like, and, you know, maybe to continue my series of bold predictions, I actually do fancy Tyrone to go and beat Derry, to be honest with you, because, like, how many times have we seen Tyrone go and spoil a party and upset a party? Like, they're the masters at doing it. Do you know, like, 3 years ago, when Dublin got knocked out by Mayo, people just dismissed Tyrone straight away, and they said Kerry Mayo final, and then Tyrone went and beat Kerry, and then beat Mayo in the final. And I know their team has changed quite significantly since then, but, like, some of the new players that came in last week were really, really impressive. Dara Canavan is in the absolute form of his life. You've got Rory Canavan still to come back. He obviously made a cameo appearance last week. Connor Cush to come in as well. So I do think there's enough there for Throne. And the thing is with Derry is that, I don't know, I just don't think Mickey Hart can keep playing Glass, can keep playing Kieran McPhail. I know we played them against Kerry, but I think it would just be very foolish to line them out again week. Like, I know they did it in previous years, but I think when you're in Division 2, the gap is different to Division 1, do you know, that way? And I think it is a lot different. So, and, you know, even if he does play Glass, he does play Kieran McPhail, like those lads, like one of the reasons why Kerry came back into that game was because a lot of them lads just looked absolutely jaded and dead on their feet. And I could see Tyrone, who are a lot fresher, a lot sharper coming into this, I could see them nipping it. And I think the thing as well, the whole Mickey Hart thing adds fuel to the fore, because you know the Tyrone lads are going to be bang up for it. They're going to want to, you know, prove to Mickey Hart that you were wrong. Are the Derry lads going to have that same level of motivation? Probably not. Probably Mickey Hart, I'm sure, will have it. But will the players be able to reflect that? It's hard to know. So I could see Tyrone going there and beating them.
Interesting dynamic as well. Tyrone's number 11 the last day was the well-established at this stage, Peter Hart. And Peter Hart's uncle is Mickey Hart. Yeah. It is actually poetic. It really is, you know. And imagine Peter Hart just going into the pitch from the dressing rooms from Celtic Park and then surpassing Mickey Hart. It would just be probably one of the images of the year, to be honest. It would be just absolutely incredible. But in regards to Derry, I think there's an argument that, okay, Conor Glass and Kieran McFaul and Conor McGuckin, to a lesser extent, who's on the bench, Ethan Doherty is another example, another big example, at a wing forward who usually starts. Could Mickey Hart just play them at the start of the league campaign? And as soon as they think they're safe from relegation, they think, oh yeah, we'll just lay it off and we'll focus on the championship for the last three or four games of the league campaign. Is there an argument that Mickey Hart could even do that, especially against Tyrone? Because there's no doubt that he wants to win against his own county, or his county of his birth, should I say.
Yeah, there is a case of that, and we were mentioning that earlier with Mayo. Maybe that's something that they're looking to do potentially as well. So it's hard to know, like, and it's an interesting one with Derry, because even against Kerry, like, they only made two substitutions in that game as well. Like, they're clearly, like, I don't think Derry are necessarily a team that's starved of any underage coming through. They've been getting to a few under 20 All Ireland finals. Obviously, they had a couple of minor All Ireland wins. I know some of them lads maybe a little bit away from coming in, but even we saw the likes of Owen McAvoy and Niall Loughlin and a few of these players like make an impact and come into the team. You know, likes of Doherty as well. So, like, it is an interesting one with Derry. Like, to be fair, I do think Mickey Hart, though, he definitely will at some point need to mix it up and try different things out, because at the end of the day, to win All Ireland, it's not always just about your starting 15. It's about your squad. It's about trusting the players to come on and make an impact. Like, how many times down the years have we said Dublin have made the difference in this final because of the players they've been able to bring off the bench? And I get Dublin, you know, for years were able to bring the likes of Paul Mannion and even Bernard Brogan, like when he was coming to the end of his career off the bench. But you need to try different players out. Like, look at Colm Baskell with Dublin last year. Like, Dublin tried him out throughout the league, and then he kept his place in the championship. And I don't think we win the All-Ireland without him. So I do think Mickey Hart needs to start trusting more of his squad. But again, you could be spot on. It could be a case of, we beat Kerry, let's go out and get this win. Then, you know, let's win the next couple of games, and then let's switch off by the time the Ulster Championship comes around. Because obviously Derry, you know, could very well be playing Tyrone in Ulster potentially as well if Tyrone get past Monaghan.
And if Derry get past Donegal, let's not count Donegal out of this. Never count out Jimmy. Never do that. Very dangerous. But I, for the record, I do think Derry will want to win this game. I think Mickey Hart will be up for it, seriously up for it at Celtic Park. But before we get into Division 2 and the other games in the league this weekend, what did you see in the Tyrone team against Roscommon that made you think they're going to win this game against Derry? Because at the start of the league campaign, I remember specifically myself, yourself, Seamus, and I'd imagine John McMahon as well, would have said Tyrone to go down to Division 2. What has changed, in your opinion, after that performance against Roscommon?
I think it's the new players who've come in. Some of the new players, the likes of Kieran Daly, Ben Cullen, obviously looking very good. Darragh Calvin, in the absolute form of his life. And even like I think one thing about Tyrone, one thing I think Tyrone have lacked hugely since that All Ireland win is fight. Like, I think Tyrone a lot of the time have just bowed down and showed very little heart, showed very little desire in big games and big moments. Like, when you look back at Tyrone in the last few years, they've been on the receiving end of some amount of hammerings. Like, you think back to Kerry last year in the All-Ireland quarterfinal, a few games obviously in the league as well. The season previous, they got beat by 11 points against Derry in the championship. So they've been on the receiving end of some amount of hammerings. And for them to go down to 14 men away against Roscommon, I know Roscommon were missing players as well, but I just thought they were very well set up. They were very well organised. They moved the ball very well. And like, the thing about Tyrone is that I don't think anyone was necessarily doubting that they didn't have the ability to kick on and be a great team. Like, a lot of us predicted Tyrone to do very well last year in the championship, and they just sort of fell flat on their faces in the end. So some of the new lads who came in, and even the fact that they've obviously, under 20 All-Ireland champions last year, I do think there's enough there. Look, I don't necessarily think they'll go on and win the league, or I don't necessarily think they'll challenge for an All-Ireland. I still think they're a bit off that, and they could win this game and then go on a run of a couple of defeats. But I do just fancy them to win this. And I think the fact that Derry as well, obviously with Mickey Hart in charge, I think there's going to be a real kick about Tyrone this weekend. And I think they're going to want to spoil the party.
We're going for very different predictions. Actually, in all four Division 1 games, we're going for different predictions completely. So, we've gone for one draw, you've gone for another draw, and then we've gone for completely different teams and other predictions. So we'll have to see. Either I'll have egg in my face or you'll have egg in your face, Aaron. We'll have to see this weekend how it pans out. We'll move on to Division 2, and probably the standout game this weekend is in the Athletic Grounds on Saturday night, Armagh against Meath. At 6 p.m. in the Athletic Grounds, as I said, on Saturday evening. Armagh were poor enough against Louth the last day, only winning by a point. And if Sam Murray gets that last minute 45, we could have been talking about a different story. Meath, and I was looking at the J-Mac podcast, actually, and interesting enough, former Meath footballer Joe Sheridan was on that. Check that out if you haven't already. And he was saying that should have been a win for Meath. And I'd imagine that would have been the same kind of perspective from any Meath fan up and down the country, wherever they were. But, like, is there an onus there for Meath to go out and perform in this game? Considering they were very, very poor last weekend, considering Armagh were poor enough against Louth at home last weekend, the fact that Armagh were lucky to beat Louth, could Meath have at the back of their minds thinking we could go out and shock Armagh here?
Yeah, I think I think this is the type of game that Meath can get up for. I think Meath are probably similar a little bit maybe to Kildare and Cork, where when they play sides that are bigger than them, they can get up for it, they can raise their game, they can put in a performance. But when they play sides that are lesser than them, they tend to sometimes get beat. It's an interesting one. I've never really bought into a lot of the hype about Meath coming in this year. I think they've got a lot of younger players. I'm not convinced by Colm O'Rourke in terms of tactics and everything else. Like, his teams just look very easy to beat a lot of the time. And I think it's probably no surprise that Fermanagh were able to get a result. And let's not forget, like, Meath were probably quite lucky to actually come away with a draw in that game. Fermanagh were leading for large parts, and then Meath obviously came back into it late on. For Armagh, it was probably similar as well. I remember looking at that game on Scorbio, like, it was at the Dublin match, and I tuned in, and I think after like 15 minutes, Louth were 4 points up, and you were thinking, what on earth is going on here? Armagh haven't even scored yet. I suppose it's one of them for Armagh. A lot of the time last year, they played very well and didn't win. This time around, they played poorly and won. And I think at the end of the day, it's one of them for Armagh where they got over the line, they got the victory. Like, we had this with Dublin last year where we played poorly so much in Division 2, but we just found a way to win. And I think this is probably similar for Armagh. It's probably one of them where they probably underestimated Louth and thought it would be a lot more comfortable than it was. It's a tough one. I think it will be another close game, in fairness. I can see me putting in a good performance, but I just think Armagh will probably be a, a little bit stronger, I think.
Yeah, I think Armagh should get over the line as well, but Meath will definitely put up a very good performance. But actually worth noting, Tommy Rooney actually tweeted this last night in regards again to the Sigurdsson Cup. 10 of Meath's like starting 15, thereabouts, or even the players that come on, actually played the Sigurdsson Cup last week. The likes of Shane Walsh did, Matthew Costello did, Kieran Caulfield, I think, got a few minutes for DCU, if any. He was definitely named to start. I don't know, did he actually start last night against UL? And there was a few others on the main team as well. Aaron Lynch played for UCD. So, like, Cullum O'Rourke is at this again. He commented about this last year in the league with Shane Walsh, was playing too many games, then gets injured in match day two of the league against Clare. Like, is there does Cullum O'Rourke make a good argument here that this about Sigurdsson Cup players? Should the main players get more rest than they're getting at the moment?
Yeah, like, it's... I suppose it's just unfortunate because Meath do have so many young players as opposed to other counties. They do have a lot of players that are involved in Sigurdsson as well. And I suppose the fact that Meath is, I suppose, based sort of, like, there's so many colleges and there's so many places to go around Meath that you just have players scattered everywhere. Like, it's not like a case in Ulster where there's only a couple of universities really to choose from. So players are kind of ended up being scattered everywhere. It's always kind of been that way. So I think, like, for Cullum O'Rourke, it's just one of them things, you know. Like, at the end of the day, I think he needs to trust his squad, trust his team. And I suppose, like a lot of other counties, you're just going to have to make do with it and try different players out. Again, it probably does prove the point, though, that without a few star names, this Meath team are very ordinary, really, you know. And they've looked like that for a good couple of years. Like, very nearly got relegated last year and whatnot, but, like, yeah, he probably does have a point with the amount of games, but I suppose it's probably one of them where, you know, he needs to trust the squad a bit more, because it's not like me, they're the only team in this situation. There are other counties who have, you know, players. You know, Tyrone have obviously a lot of players playing Sigurdsson as well, so.
Yeah, it's a good argument when you think about it that way. Like, it is unfortunate. The likes of Aaron Lynch is playing in Frayne is another example. I forgot to mention playing for Maynooth University as well. But when you mention other counties are in this situation, Cork had a load last year. I'm not sure about this year now. Tyrone have a loss. Mayo, Frank Irwin started the last day against Galway midfield and he started wing forward for UL. So there are other counties that do have this sort of situation. But for this particular game, I'd expect Armagh to go on and win it, but me to put up a very good fight. And the next game in Division 2 is in Brewster Park. The game is live on BBC iPlayer or GAA Go in the Republic of Ireland. It's Fermanagh against Kildare on Saturday at 6 p.m. I don't know about you, Aaron, but this has the feeling a shock is coming.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, this, you could definitely see a scenario where Fermanagh win this because of how inconsistent Kildare are. And it wouldn't surprise me if Kildare lost this game but then went out and beat Donegal in a few weeks' time. They're that type of team. And they've been like that for, you know, like, the best part of a decade, really. Like, it's weird because, like, when you looked at their team that played against, like, when they lost to Cavan, I was thinking, like, because I didn't see the game obviously live, and I just checked the teams, like, afterwards. And initially in my head, I was thinking, yeah, Kildare must have just tried out loads of under 20 players or something like that. And then you saw that Jimmy Hyland was there, Dara Kirwan was playing, Kevin Feely was playing, Paddy Woodgate. Fair enough, they didn't have Daniel Flynn, but he probably isn't a regular starter nowadays anyway. And yeah, it was just, like, to be fair, I predicted Cavan to win that game mainly just because of the inconsistency of Kildare, because that's just how they've been over the last couple of years. And yeah, like, Fermanagh, we know at home they're going to be very well organized, they're going to slow the game down as much as possible, they're going to frustrate the living daylights out of Kildare. You could definitely see Fermanagh sneaking something. In saying that, though, I do think Kildare have good enough players to win the game. And I think they need, especially after what was a very disappointing result against Cavan, they'll know the pressure is on them and they'll know they need to turn up. And to be fair, I think they'll just about sneak over the line. Like, you remember last year, was it, I think, against Clare at the start of the league, they just about got over the line in that game. They had a few results that just about kept them afloat. And I think this will be one of them games, I think, for Kildare.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tight game. And even following on from your comments about the Cavan game, I'm looking at their team there. You have Jimmy Hyland, Darragh Kieran, and Paddy Woodgate in the full forward line. In midfield, you have Kevin O'Callaghan and Kevin Feely. Like, that's a monstrous midfield pairing. I actually don't know. Not necessarily Cavan. I know Cavan are a very good side, and fair play to Raymond Gallagher's side for getting the win. But I didn't expect them to win this comfortably. And I didn't expect Kildare fans to come out of the game in Watch Cullen Park that night saying that was a disgrace, that was a joke of a performance. That's why I heard on social media the commentary around it. And look, it's really, really boring from a Kildare point of view. And the one thing that strikes me about them, I know they do have very good players. Kevin Flynn's another one, Jack Sargent, Mick O'Grady, all of them as well in the back line, to be fair. But the under-20s don't seem to be there either. That's a worry to me for Kildare. It just feels like the likes of Callum Bolton, Tomás Van Engelbrechten, they aren't coming up through the ranks as Kildare would have hoped. So that's a worry for Kildare in the next few years too.
Yeah, a few of them, I think Callum Bolton came on late on, like in the game. But yeah, like there probably isn't that element of trust maybe from Glenn Ryan, that maybe he's not trying out more of the younger lads. Like, he's introduced a few players here and there. You'd be massively frustrated as a Kildare fan, because you know the talent is there, you know the ability is there for Kildare to, especially when you look at their team, like they should be pushing for promotion, in my opinion, when you actually look at their team. But it's just been like mentality, in my opinion. You know, like, you think back to last year, they nearly beat Dublin in Croke Park in Leinster, and then a couple of weeks later they drew at Sligo. Like, so they just are that type of team, Kildare. And you just, you know, they're like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get with them.
Yeah, it's really, really worrying about a Kildare point of view there. But you're predicting Kildare to win slightly. I think I'm going to play my wild card in this one. I'm going to go for Manna. I just feel like this is a shock brewing here in Brewster Park. And the fact it's on BBC iPlayer as well. So it's in front of really the watching GA world. So I just feel like Fermanagh, as you said previously, I think Fermanagh will make the game as ugly as possible. They'll put a lot of men behind the ball. They'll frustrate the life out of Kildare. And I just feel they'll have enough to win this game. But I do echo your points. I think you made it on your own channel the other day as well. If Kildare lose this game, they're gone. I think they are really in the mud, and they could even go down. But speaking of, we'll move on to the next game now, and there's very similar comparisons. If Cork lose this game, I think they're at the game day, just for a matter of interest for our viewers, Louth against Cork in RDE Sunday at 1 p.m. And I am going to the game as well, considering it is a bank holiday, so I may as well. But like, if Cork do, I know it was a brilliant Donegal performance. I'm taking nothing away from Donegal. They were absolutely exceptional. 75% track, saying we'll get on to Donegal in a little while. But Cork, if they lose this game, I know there was no panic stations from me anyway. There was a few panic stations from a few Cork fans, I will say, and maybe from Kevin Kennedy on your own channel earlier on this week. There wasn't from myself, considering it was Donegal. But I feel like Cork have to go on and win this game against Louth. If they don't, instead of looking at Division 1, they're looking down the barrel of Division 3 instead.
Yeah, like I think the worry from Cork, like, fair enough, Donegal were absolutely outstanding, but I think for Cork to finish the game with 8 scores, and you're looking at, like, what, you only had, what, 3 scores or 4 scores in total in the entire match, 3 from your starting 15. So yeah, like, it's a massive game for Cork, because again, like, as you said, like, if like Louth played very well, and they would have took a lot of confidence from the Armagh game, and yeah, like, there is a chance for Louth. There definitely is a chance for Louth, because I don't think Gerard Brennan has gone in and completely ripped up the script. I think he's keeping Louth playing a very similar way to what Mickey Hart was there. And I think he's just trying to build off them foundations that were set. And we saw them nearly do that against Armagh. And they would have took a lot of confidence. Like, in training this week, they would have been saying, we should have won that game. And they'll believe that they have what it takes to go and upset Cork. And I suppose the start of this game is going to be very important, because if Louth go 3-4 points up, it'll be interesting to see Cork's response, and it'll be interesting to see if they can keep their heads and keep their willpower, because as you said before, like, there is pressure on this game, because if Cork were to lose, I don't think they'll get relegated, but I think promotion does go out the window. And even at that, you're giving Loud 2 points, and Loud are probably going to be a side who would have been there, thereabouts, many people would have predicted, in the relegation battle. So yeah, it is a huge game for Cork. But to be fair, I do think, like obviously you have a lot of lads playing Sigerson and everything else, and obviously like Brian Hurley started the last day. But yeah, like I think you do have enough there, I think, to get over the line. But again, I think it's going to be a very close one, probably 1 or 2 points.
Think it's going to be close as well. And to be honest, it gets more hope, more Nick. Well, to be honest, it's a bit of hope, bit of expectation. Well, more so hope than expectation. I'm going to go for Cork to go on and win this game by a point or two, but it's going to be very, very close. But I will say this about Cork: they have to go on and win it if they are serious about getting in the promotion race, or even just solidifying themselves at least in Division 2. I think they have to go on and win this game. But the worrying part for me, Conor Corbett didn't tog out for DCU last night against UL. So I'm not sure what's the situation there. Is he injured? Is John Cleary telling him to take a rest? I'm not sure. But if he is injured, that's a huge blow. Brian Hurley, I didn't think he looked fully fit against Donegal, I'll be honest. I think Stephen Sherlock is probably the best player to go in and take that start role in the full forward line. One positive out of very few against Donegal the last day, Chris O'Jones for 1-2 for play. And I think if he gets on form, I think he could be a target for the Loud defence, definitely. But we'll have to see how that pans out. There's a comment coming in here. Angry Cork fan ran coming Sunday night from Matthew of Cork Loons. Yeah. I guarantee you, there probably will be. There probably will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the way the world works. Like Donegal, or like, no disrespect to Loud, no, but Cork have to go on and win this game. They seriously have to go on and win it. And we'll go on to the last game, Cavan against Donegal at 4 p.m. on Sunday. We talked a bit about this off air. Donegal are really looking good. They're really looking the part, and you would have to expect Donegal to go on and win the game, considering like if Oisin Gallan comes back in. I'm not sure what the injury situation is with him. If he comes back in, Donegal looks stronger again. And Jimmy is definitely getting something out of these Donegal players. But I say to you off air, Aaron, Cavan, there's something about them. Like, that win against Kildare was very impressive last weekend. They're going to Breffni Park now. If Cavan make it into a battle, I don't know. Like, things could happen. Like, let's not forget, Cavan did shock Donegal 4 years ago in the Ulster final. So it's not among the realms of possibility that Cavan do beat Donegal.
Yeah, it's definitely not impossible, but I would have Donegal as heavy favourites, to be honest. Just because of where they're at and how good they've looked coming into this. Maybe like if Donegal and Cavan were to play each other in the championship, maybe then Cavan might be a little bit closer to their best. But like, we spoke obviously about Kildare being really poor against Cavan, and don't get me wrong, Cavan, you know, fair play to them. They turned up, they got the job done, and you know, Paddy Lynch obviously getting on the score sheet with 8 points, he was absolutely huge. But I just think Donegal will be far too much here. As you said, like Oisin Gallan didn't even feature in the last game. He was probably their standout player in pre-season. Like even when, like, just looking at it here again on Scorbio, like, they almost all of their outfield players, almost all of their starting 15 scored. Like, only three of them didn't. Like, it's just absolutely mental, to be honest with you. And even obviously, as you said, that video that's been shared around of like the pressure from the Donegal forwards and the Cork backs, and it's almost like Donegal are playing the blanket defense further up the pitch. It's almost like they're doing it like way further up the pitch, and that's sort of the, you know, the evolution of Jim McGuinness's tactics and everything else. But yeah, like, I just think Donegal, and it's not really a slight on Cavan, to be fair, I just think Donegal are looking stronger. I don't think they'll, like, what, they beat Cork by 11 points. I don't think it'll be anything like that. I think it'll probably be 3-4, maybe 5. But yeah, I just think Donegal will just be have a little bit too much, I think, for Cavan.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think Donegal should win this relatively comfortably, maybe not as comfortably as the Cork game last weekend, but Cavan will definitely put it up to them. But it's just that Donegal look way too good for this division at this present moment in time. I think they'll go on and win this game. We'll move on to Division 3 though, and if you're new to the podcast, this is how we do it anyway. It's two games we talk a bit in depth about, and then two games just say a word. So the two games in depth this week are Down against Limerick is the first one in Park Esther at 6 p.m. on Saturday. You'd have to expect Dáil to win this game. Limerick lost last weekend really comfortably in the end against Antrim at home. Well, Dáil beat Wicklow by 5 points last weekend. You have to feel Conor Laverty's team are going along nicely in the last two seasons or so.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think this should be comfortable enough for Dáil. In all honesty, like, obviously 5-point win against Wicklow. I suppose Limerick, you know, losing by 7 against Antrim, that would have been a real body blow for Limerick. It's hard to really know where Limerick are at. Like, obviously they were Division 2 last year. Jimmy Lees came in and sort of, I suppose it's, you know, it's almost like Billy Lee, obviously, his brother and everything else, I think. Like, obviously kind of similar tactics and everything else, and obviously charge of Newcastle West. But it just doesn't seem to be working in the same way. Obviously, it was a very heavy defeat to Antrim, and yeah, you would imagine Dáil will be too strong. Like, they'll definitely be targeting getting out of this division.
They will too, definitely. You know, Dáil will go on and win this game as well, and pretty comfortably at home in Park Esler. The second game we'll talk about, Dips, is Westmeath against Clare in Cusack Park in Mullingar, 2 p.m. on Sunday. Both sides got a win last weekend. Westmeath winning the Midlands Derby against Offaly, while Clare beating Sligo by a point. A brilliant win by the Emmett McMahon, I think, scoring 5 points in that game. But you have to feel Westmeath will go on and win the game. But Clare, I know they've lost a lot of players, as well documented. But the likes of Emmett McMahon there, Aaron Griffin, Iki Moguaru, there is a lot of good young players in Clare that will definitely want to stake their claim in the starting 15 too.
Yeah, it's interesting, all right, with Clare's win versus Sligo, because actually I had someone message me earlier who's a Sligo fan, and he said he listened to the podcast my own show last night, and he was saying like Sligo were robbed versus Clare, like they finished with 13 men and like they were completely like hard done by and everything else, and he said you can't read into that Clare victory whatsoever. So obviously we didn't get to see the game. The supporters who were at the game would have been able to see, but like Clare obviously came through and won that game by a point. But I think Westmeath should have enough here. Obviously Clare have lost a lot of players, as we know. Like, obviously maybe their win against Sligo was a little bit controversial, but at the same time they did win and they did get the result, and I think that will give them, you know, new players and everything a bit of confidence. But I think for Westmeath, they need to be looking, you know, again a bit like Dáil. They need to be getting out of this division and home to Clare. Especially with the amount of players Clare have lost, you would expect Westmeath to win this one, probably by, what, 3-4 maybe.
Yeah, you definitely would. That's quite interesting about this Sligo and Clare game. I know Sligo got 2 men sent off, but it's quite interesting to hear that, actually. That I heard from Clare fans, though, on comments on my Instagram thoughts of the week, actually, that Sligo were very dirty. So maybe it's just two sides of the coin. I don't know what it was.
Maybe, yeah. Like, I didn't see any of the game. It's just one of them when someone messaged you, giving you information about a match, you're kind of like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite interesting when you see it from two sides of the fence, really. But yeah, I predict Westmeath to go on and win this game. And the two games, we'll just say a word on who's going to win. Sligo against Wicklow in Markovic Park, 1 p.m. on Sunday. You have to expect Sligo, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I think it would be a close enough game. Obviously, two managers that know each other very well, Oisín McConville and Tony McEntee. Probably be similar tactics and all the rest. It'll probably be a low-scoring game. Sligo obviously got the better of them last season, I think, on two occasions. They obviously beat them in the league final, the Division 4 league final. So, yeah, I think Sligo just about, I think, maybe to nick it.
Yeah, so Sligo will go on and win that game. And the last game of Division 3 of the weekend, Antrim against Offaly in Corrigan Park, 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tight one for Offaly, maybe, but you'd have to expect them to go on and win it, especially after the second half performance they produced against Westmeath.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. Like, I suppose if you were going to predict an upset in Division 3, maybe you would look at this one. Corrigan Park, Antrim, Offaly new manager, everything else still trying to settle in. A lot of younger players. But yeah, I think Offaly should have enough, and I suppose if Offaly were to lose this, you would start to maybe look at Offaly as potentially in a bit of a relegation battle, which would be a little bit mad. But yeah, I do think Offaly do have enough to win.
Yeah, I think Offaly will go on and win that game. And on to Division 4, and we'll talk about one game in depth and then 3 games say a word. The game in depth this week, Longford against Tipperary in Glen Brothers Pierce Park at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Both teams, after losing last weekend, obviously Longford losing probably to a better team in the end than Laois. Laois were very good on the night, and Longford played well in some aspects of the game, but they still got the loss in that game, whereas Tipperary lost at home in Semple Stadium to Carlow. So you'd have to feel it's a must win for both sides if they want to get promoted, and worth noting as well with Tipperary, I know they lost the last day, but Sean O'Connor got 9 points the last day, and he will be key again for Tipperary this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's very big for Longford. Like, I think you look at their league record last year and this year, and you combine them both together, I think they've only won like one game, I think maybe one league game since Paddy Christie's been in charge. And look, fair enough, going away to Laois, aside that, you know, are going to be contending promotion, you could excuse it maybe. You could excuse it, but especially with obviously the amount of players Tipperary are missing at the moment, it's clearly not the same Tipperary as a few years ago. You know, and yeah, I would think that Tipperary or that Longford should, in my opinion, have enough. Like Darren Gallagher, obviously 2 goals and a point the last day out against Laois. He's been one of their main players for the last couple of years. I would fancy Longford. I think they should be able to do it. I just think it would be very disappointing for Longford fans, like especially beating Dublin in the O'Byrne Cup. I know, fair enough, it was probably Dublin's, what, maybe third team. But at the same time, Longford played very well and they were very well organised. And I just think it would be a real shame for Longford as a county. And look, even for ourselves as neutrals, we want to see counties improve. And Longford for a while there were looking like they were going to get out of Division 3 a few years ago. So we kind of want to see Longford get back up there. And to be fair, I think they will do enough to win this.
They do have technically gifted players as well. 2 in particular play for DCU in the Sigurdsson, actually, Keelan McGann and Joseph Hagan. They have them 2 in particular are very, very good young players. So you'll see Longford do well in a way, and I think they'll do enough to win this game as well. The first of the 3 of awards of Division 4, Wexford against Laois, is kind of a Leinster derby here. In Chadwick's Wexford Park. You'd have to expect Laois to go on and win this game, but Wexford to put up much of a test in this one.
Yeah, like I think Laois will be too strong. I think like they're going to be one of the favourites, obviously coming into this division and everything else. Wexford are such a weird one; they could probably go and win this type of game. They're that type of team. Actually, when you look at their record, you know, against the likes of Offaly and whatnot in the last couple of years, so you could definitely envisage Wexford winning it. But I do think Laois will be too strong.
Yeah, I think so as well. We'll move on to the third game in Division 4, and it is Leitrim against London. It's a kind of a Connacht derby. It's all derbies this weekend. Leitrim against London this game, Sunday at 1 p.m. In Carrick and Shannon. Should be a Leitrim win, but London have some decent players, so they might pull off a shock here.
Yeah, like I don't think it'll be as convincing as Leitrim's win against Waterford. What was it, like 17 points or something like that? I don't think it'll be anything of that nature. I think it'll probably be 5 or 6, but I do think Leitrim will have enough.
Yeah, definitely so. And this game, the last game in Division 4, Carlow against Waterford, Netwatch Cullen Park, 6 p.m. on Saturday. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think anyone who's playing Waterford this win this year, you probably just predict the other team. And it's just where Waterford are at, unfortunately. And yeah, I think Carlow probably fairly comfortably.
Yeah, I think Carlow should win that game comfortably as well. And it should be a very interesting weekend in the Allianz Football League.